we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldviews.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Tomorrow, those are normally Walker's days, but I get to be with you 4 days in a row. I hope you can handle it. Hope it's not overload, but looking forward to some more time this afternoon. Phone number today is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I was going to initially kind of pick up where we left off yesterday. We were talking about the whole Trump potential indictment thing, but honestly, it may turn into a nothing burger, honestly, folks. I don't know what's going to happen with this thing. I think it may be that this DA backs off. What they're saying is that it's going to be, you're going to get another, they've got somebody that's testifying. I haven't seen yet who that is. Maybe they released it, but I haven't seen it. Testifying, I think, tomorrow. So apparently no arrest today. And that's what was initially what Trump had said. So, we'll see where this thing goes. I don't want to spend a whole other program on it unless something breaks while we're on the air. But just a quick reminder of why it's a big deal. In case you didn't, if you weren't here yesterday for the program, this is not about Trump. It's not about defending Trump or not defending Trump or being pro-Trump or anti-Trump or any of that. What this is about and the way we should approach this is it's about our constitutional republic and about whether or not we are a constitutional republic, meaning we have a constitution, we have a set of rules that we play by, and that we have a justice system that is blind, that treats everyone the same, and that we don't turn around and make up laws or connect dots on that don't exist in order to create a case against someone because they're a political enemy, and that we don't use persecution through prosecution to take out our political enemies. That's third world. That's banana republic stuff. That's communist stuff. That's the kind of thing that we are supposed to be against in America. And so we should always want the law to be applied evenly, regardless of who it is, regardless of who it's happening to. And so, as I mentioned yesterday, we've seen, of course, many signs and unfortunately evidence that this is, right now in America, not the case. That right now in America, we do have a two-tiered justice system. Trump does get, persecuted, prosecuted, while, the Biden family flaunts the corruption, while the evidence is right there on every news program from the Hunter Biden laptop. Everybody knows what took place there, and yet no indictment. We'll see if any actual investigation ever goes anywhere on that. And yet at the same time, same thing on the classified documents. As we mentioned yesterday, you got the two different treatments on the classified documents. With Trump, it's the close to midnight, early morning raid of the House, and then of course it's not the same for Biden. For Biden, it's all about we happen to find some here, and then we happen to find some over there, and then we happen to find classified documents everywhere. As I said before, here a classified document, there a classified document, everywhere a classified document. It's old McDonald's farm at Joe Biden's place with classified documents, and yet no negative light for him, and no midnight raids, none of that. So it's just a two-tier justice system. That's my complaint with it. I just want to reiterate, this is not about a pro or anti-Trump. And then, of course, we saw the same thing with J6, January 6 defendants versus BLM. And I just want the law to be, I'm just a respecter of the law. I'm a respecter of equal justice. I want everybody to be treated the same, regardless of color of skin, regardless of your financial situation, regardless of what part of the country you're from, all of those things, regardless of what political party, regardless of your beliefs, we should be treated the same. That's what we're after. That's what we'd like to see. And both sides should want that. Both sides should want us to have that type of system. When you don't have that type of system, when you don't have blind justice and equal justice, you get real abuse, serious abuse. It's no longer the kind of thing that we typically think of as abuse. Even as Christians, we think of persecution as not being able to say something or some of the things that have happened in our country in the last few years. But you start getting actual physical abuse. You start getting people arrested and detained and thrown into the gulag, and for 2 years now, for many of those J6 defendants, not able to get, you know, make bail, being treated literally like they're in some sort of third world country, banana republic type situation. And it's bad. It's bad. And so the remedy is to come back and have, once again, I know I'm a broken record on this, once again, you must have biblical literacy and civic literacy. We must once again have the knowledge necessary to elect good people and have the knowledge necessary to recognize the lie. You know, when we know truth, when we're saturated in God's word, when we're studying on a regular basis, then when the lie presents itself, whatever that lie may be about, it could be a lie about our health. It could be a lie about a virus. It could be a lie about justice, about government, about history. And if we know truth, then we're going to recognize the lie, laugh it off, or stand up against it and expose it as a lie, and it won't have a chance to take root and cause damage. But if we don't know truth, if we reject truth, then we embrace the lie. We fall for the lie. We actually accept the lie as truth, and then we act on the lie, and we suffer the consequences. That deception ends up having a very bad consequence. And that's essentially what's happened in America, folks. I know I say it all the time. I'm sorry for being repetitive. But everything we're dealing with in terms of the pain, the negatives, the destruction, you pick the issue. It stems from rejecting God's word. I know that sounds simplistic. But every bit of it goes back, just as Noah Webster warned us all those years ago, more than 200 years ago, made it very, very clear that we need to know God's word and act on God's word. Otherwise, if we neglect his word or we reject his word, and we reject the precepts in the Bible, then we're going to experience all the vice, crime, slavery, war, all the negative things in the culture. We get that when we neglect or despise God's word. And that means if you're an atheist or you're a secularist and you don't want God's word anywhere at all for anybody, you just hate the Bible, then you're rejecting it. And Noah was right. But if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, and you say the Bible guides you, and you say that you're following Christ, and that he's your Savior, and therefore he's Lord over every part of your life, there's no part of your life that he should not be Lord over, and then we're not in God's word, then what are we doing? We're neglecting it. We're not despising it. We're not saying we hate God's word, but we're neglecting it, and then we don't know it. And so if we don't know it, we don't know the truth. And then the lie fools us. And boy, is there a lot of fooling going on out there in this country, inside the church, by the way. So inside the church, we have people that are teaching and preaching things that are completely anti-biblical. They're not biblical concepts, but yet the congregation doesn't know the word. We're not studying it ourselves, and so they fall for the lies. So the theme is this, folks: biblical and civic literacy. That is the answer. Biblical and civic ignorance, that is the petri dish where bad government grows. That's how you get tyranny. That's how you take a nation that was the most free, most powerful, most, the wealthiest, the most benevolent nation in the history of the world, got better results than any nation has ever experienced in history, produced more wealth, had more inventions, more just plain old household conveniences. I mean, all of the things that came from the prosperity and the growth and the blessings poured out upon our nation. The way you take a nation like that, that's at the very top and experiencing what no nation in history has ever experienced, and turn it into a nation that is now ripping apart, that is tearing each other apart, that is celebrating the destruction of children and the deviancy that we see celebrated constantly now. The way you get to that, the way you, in a very short period of time, lose that greatness and move towards absolute depravity is civic and biblical ignorance. And so, good news is, ignorance, curable. Ignorance, not good, but curable. Every form of ignorance, no matter what you're ignorant about. I'm ignorant about a lot of things. I'm not insulting anybody when I say that they're civically or biblically ignorant. I'm ignorant about many things. We all are. But you can solve ignorance. You can actually replace it with knowledge. You can go study and correct that ignorance and then be able to effectively engage in whatever that particular area is. In this case, we're talking about society. We're talking about how to treat our neighbors, how to form our culture, how to make our justice system work, how to raise our kids, what kind of education system. All of those things are affected by our worldview, which means it's affected by what we're studying, what we're learning. who are the people that we're listening to? And so I just want to give a kind of a clarion call today to say to you as a listener, become a student of freedom. Become a student of truth. Become a student of all that will produce the kind of nation that you want your child, your grandchild, to grow up in. Ronald Reagan described it as our children's children. He said that we may someday have to tell our children and our children's children what it was once like to live in America where men were free. Well, we're right on the cusp, folks, of having to tell our children's children what it was once like to live in America where free, where men were free. We're that close. This thing could be lost. And so the way that we prevent that from happening is we become, you know, champions of truth. And we study it ourselves. We start spending a lot of time in it. And I guess I'm even going to basically just put a challenge out there to you today that right now you would consider committing to reading through the entire Bible this year. And that if you were to do that, if you were to saturate yourself in God's Word this year, if you've never done that before, or even if you have, I mean, we try to do it every year. Just it was a Founding Fathers thing. A lot of the Founding Fathers did that. They would go through the Bible every year, and it was like a milestone. But by doing that, by going through every year, you're constantly bringing back that instruction on how to treat your neighbor, how to raise your kids, how to run your business, how to live a biblical life in every area of your life, where the Lord is Lord over every area of your life. So would you consider that? Would you think about possibly devoting, you know, for different people it's different, 10 minutes a morning you might be able to get all the way through. You may need 30 minutes a morning to do that. And if you go to my website at patriotacademy.com, And I did this last year publicly with people. I went and posted every day on all my social media channels what I was reading that morning. And I do it through the Founders Bible. I love the Founders Bible. It's a great way to read through the Bible in a year and get some really good. Not only you're getting God's Word, you're getting application of God's Word to the particular country that we live in, the American system. And you're getting stories and all kinds of reminders of how the founders used particular scriptures to found the country and to implement the system that we have. And so anyway, I was posting last year, every day I would post a picture of the Founders Bible with the reading for that day and, you know, a lesson or something, you know, a takeaway from that day. And so all of those posts are now on our website at patriotacademy.com, and you can follow through that daily Bible reading. And you don't have to start, you know, you don't have to say, ah, Rick, but it's, you know, it's the middle of March, it's too late for me to do this. No, you can start now and just pick up right where we are in the Founders Bible today. I think we're in 2 Samuel, if I remember right. And then just go, you know, until next March, and you'll get through the entire Bible. Or do it on your own. And there's tons of other people that have year long, you know, straight through the Bible reading. So you don't have to do ours. But I think ours is pretty cool. So consider doing it at least, and you know, accept the challenge. Saturate your mind with God's Word. It's not just going to help us save the country, folks, and that's no small thing, right? That's a big deal. We want to save America for our kids and grandkids. We want to save liberty and save freedom. But it's not just that. It's actually going to make your whole day better. If you start that time in God's Word every morning, it's going to make your whole day better, your relationships better, your health is going to be better. All of those things are going to improve. So this challenge that I'm issuing to you, I'm doing for selfish reasons, because no matter where you are right now, wherever you're listening, whether you're in Mississippi or Maine or wherever you're listening right now, what you do there is going to impact me. It's going to impact my kids, my family. It's going to impact me where I am in Texas. And what I do here is going to impact you. So I'm doing it for selfish reasons. I'm challenging you today for selfish reasons. I want my kids and grandkids to live in freedom. And I know what you do in your community is going to impact that. But I'm also doing it because I love you. And I want you to get that biblical instruction. If you're biblically and civically literate, the people in your community are going to benefit from that. Of course, there's no better place to learn a lot of that biblical and civic knowledge than right here on American Family Radio. And of course, I'm a little biased, but I would say At the Core is the best place to learn those things. So I'm thrilled that you're with us this afternoon. We're going to get to your phone calls when we come back and hit some of those headlines today and talk about what's going on around the world. Phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Stay with us. You're listening to At the Core.
Professing to be wise, they became fools. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Current occupant of the Vice President's mansion, Kamala Harris, was invited onto Stephen Colbert's floundering late-night television show. I'm sure you weren't one of the 12 people who saw it. But Colbert asked Ms. Harris what specifically her job was. After providing a word salad celebrating Joe Biden's performance, Colbert responded, the question was, what's the job of the vice president? Harris's second non-answer follow-up showed she seems to have no idea what her job duties really are. For many, this is further evidence that she and Mr. Biden are merely frontmen. So who's really running the country?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Persecuted believers in Asia, they love their enemies and they count it all joy to suffer for the Lord Jesus. This is Bible League International. In China, Pastor Katsu was badly beaten.
The thing they did to him is ask him to face the wall, and they strike him, chest and his back. And it was very painful. He said afterwards he lay in bed for 3 days that he could not get up. So he said the suffering is really, really hard, but the fruit is sweet. It's a joy, joy of God.
Pastor Katsu can say the suffering is sweet because days later, his interrogator showed up at his doorstep with a question, why were you at such peace when we were beating you? So he would open his door, open his Mandarin Bible, and lead this man to Christ. Together, they have seen thousands come to Christ in China where Bibles are scarce. You and your family, you can bless these Bibleist believers at only $5 a Bible. $100 sends 20 right now, every gift matched. Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org, sendbiblesnow.org.
Let's be real. Retirement is expensive, and inflation is making it even harder with the cost of everything going up from pet food to a dozen eggs. Wouldn't it be great if the cost of your health care could go down? Well, MediShare 65 Plus is $99 a month for ages 65 to 74. And for many with Medicare Parts A and B, looking at other options, that's 50% or more saved per month. No gimmicks. It's $99 a month, and you can use any Medicare-approved doctor or facility, and you get 24/7 access to telehealth from the convenience of your home. Better yet, MediShare is a Christian nonprofit organization. It's a community that'll pray for you and encourage you. And since we've cut out the middleman, you get to keep the savings. Call now. You can learn more about MediShare 65 Plus. Here's the number, 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core. This is Walker Robin, Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, Breakfast Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with us today. And it looks like on the break, I pulled up a headline. I may be wrong. It looks like Alan Dershowitz, who we talked about yesterday, is a liberal. He's a left winger on most issues, but 50-year professor at Harvard and considered to be, you know, listen, a legal expert by all sides. I respect him, even though I disagree with him on many, many, many things. But he actually did represent Trump in one of the impeachments. I can't remember which one. But anyway, he said today that Trump will be indicted, that he fully expects Trump to be indicted. But this is, I had to laugh when I read the headline. The headline in Epic Times is, Alan Dershowitz, Trump can serve as president from prison. Now, I know that's, I shouldn't laugh. I mean, that's awful to even think about the former or potentially next president being in prison at all. But he's just making the point that if these guys actually think that they're going to stop Donald Trump from running for president and potentially from winning president again, then, you know, they're dreaming. They're dreaming. This is actually going to fuel. I said this yesterday. This is going to fuel Trump supporters. It'll make them even more devoted. It'll make them even more active. It'll frankly win over people from the middle, and because of what I was saying in the first segment, out of a righteous anger and a righteous love of justice and a you know, hatred of a lack of justice, people will come to rally behind him. So Dershowitz says, in New York, you can indict a ham sandwich, which, of course, is what they told us in law school as well. In New York, you can indict a ham sandwich. In New York City, you can convict a ham sandwich because the jury pool is so unfair. That part they didn't tell us in law school. He says, even if he's convicted, he can run for president. He can run for president from prison. He can even serve as president from prison. So does anybody else just have this image in their mind of like this mob movie, you know, right? You're watching some mob show where the mobsters are in prison, but they're getting, you know, steak served to them, and they've got all the, you know, all the wonderful things in life right there in a luxurious prison cell, and they're running their mob operation from prison. Now, I did not say that Donald Trump is the mob. I'm sure I'm going to get a few hate mail. That is not what I said. I just had this image of Donald Trump and his cabinet in a prison, in a massive, luxurious prison cell, running the country from that prison cell. I shouldn't laugh, I know, but it would make a good movie. Okay, it would make a good movie. I might even go write a novel about this. Okay, I'm losing it. I got to go to the phones. I'm gonna end up saying something even more ridiculous. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840. We're going to go to Stacy first, headed to Texas. Stacy, what part of Texas are you calling from?
I'm calling from East Texas.
All right. Thanks for calling in. What's your comment or question?
So I am a travel nurse, and I've not had a lot of issues traveling other than constantly pretty much inundated with requests to go work in Houston. And my understanding is that Liberty Counsel won the civil lawsuit against Methodist for the trying to enforce the COVID shot in 2021. And they lost the lawsuit against Liberty Counsel et al., the civil lawsuit in 2022. Now, as a travel nurse, I have been declined contract solely on that reason and flu shot. So I don't understand how there's a loophole here, and they call themselves an equal employment opportunity employer, or, you know, just non-discrimination here. If they're discriminating me on that specific, that's the only point. I have been told that outright by a director in the hospital.
Well, I would, if I were you, I would absolutely document that, and I would reach out to Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel and see if that's a suit that they would want to take, or another one of the law firms like that, because I completely agree with you, that's discrimination. And from what I've seen in the victories in the lawsuits, and Matt's been just an absolute champion, and I'll get him on the program to talk more about it and talk about the nuances of that and the suits that they settled. I think that was one that they actually settled, and so if they settled it, then it's not going to be case law that you could then stand on in your particular case. But my point is, absolutely it's wrong, and I believe that is, there are suits being won on this for an employer to say we're going to discriminate against you based on your vaccination status. They have to at least have measures where you could, as an unvaccinated, they can get away right now, which I think is still wrong, with requiring you to wear a mask or some of their other ridiculous protocols that aren't helping. But they should not be able to say you absolutely cannot have the job. I just talked to somebody last night telling me how they weren't allowed to have lunch with people. They couldn't be in the presence of anybody else when they were eating. All these ridiculous discriminations for not getting the vaccine. It is 100% discrimination. And frankly, it's not just with COVID. They're going to do this with other vaccines. They've always had some level of discrimination with the vaccination status thing, and we've, as a culture, put up with that out of a fear for public health. And I've never bought the science, right? I've never bought this lie that somehow my kid going to school unvaccinated on a particular vaccine is a danger to your kid that got the vaccine. If the vaccine works, how is my kid a danger to your kid? And of course, you know, the response is, well, the vaccine doesn't work for everybody, and you've got, you know, and they go through all the, you know, herd immunity and yada yada yada. And but the arguments break down very quickly. And so that's why I actually pushed really, really hard when I was a legislator, and then we finally got it passed, a law to give conscientious objection to vaccines. And that was 25 years ago. I mean, this is not a new issue. It's something that we've dealt with for a very long time. And I think part of what caused people to start dealing with it 25 years ago was that they were coming up with all these new vaccines. I mean, most people would say, listen, okay, polio, I mean, you know, or you know, meningitis or whatever. I mean, there's some of these things that it made sense. But then they started coming up with rotavirus. I mean, it's diarrhea. They're literally you're going to have a vaccine against diarrhea. And then they started coming up with sexually transmitted diseases that they wanted to do vaccines for and give them to kids at 6 months old. So it's kind of like the whole, you know, the COVID thing. If you're not susceptible, if a six-month-old is not susceptible to the virus, why would you inject some unknown, untested chemical into their body with very little to no upside and even the most minuscule downside, let alone now at this point we know a pretty high percentage of downside. And the same thing has been true for other vaccines, including some of those sexually transmitted. HPV was a big battle here in Texas. I remember that one. It was like they wanted to force that on all kids and others. So the whole idea is it should be your choice. This is your body. Wait, that sounds familiar. My body, my choice. Anybody remember that chant? My body, my choice, except when it comes to vaccines, except when it comes to a mask, except when it comes to how you breathe. What, that doesn't make sense. Is that logical? My body, my choice when there's two bodies involved, when there's two lives involved, the baby in the womb, but it's still your body, your choice. The baby doesn't have a choice. That's their logic, right? But then if you want to not have to wear a mask to inhibit your breathing, if you want to not inject an untested experimental procedure into your body, if you don't want to do that, they can discriminate against you because it's no longer your body, your choice. It's your body, their choice. That's where we went with this whole thing. And it's evil and it's wrong, and we're finally turning it around. And I've recommended it many times on the program. I recommend it again. Steve Dace and Daniel Horowitz just came out with a book a few weeks ago, The Fourth Reich, why we need to do essentially what we did after World War II and have the Nuremberg trials, but in this case on how COVID was used to end up not only discriminating against people, but kill people. We caused all kinds of harm and death and destruction, and there needs to be a Nuremberg-type trial to hold those people accountable. When you have a high-level military officer say to someone that's a doctor, or I think in this case maybe a nurse, so maybe like our last caller, I'm seeing all kinds of negative reactions. I'm looking at the data. This is bad for pregnant women, whatever the category was. And that high level, I think it was a general, actually. I've read the book a few weeks ago, so I've forgotten the details. But a high level military officer say, I don't care about the negative reactions. All I care about are the vaccine rates. I want to be able to report that we have a high percentage that have been vaccinated. When you get that, that's a cult, folks. That is a religion. That has become a false religion where someone does not care about the lives that will be lost, does not care about the damage that's being done, does not care about the science or the data, only cares about the religious line, only cares about the cult-like following that we just want high vaccination rates. We want everybody to adhere. We want everybody to succumb, to bow, to do what we're demanding that they do. That's a cult. That's a false religion. And that's what happened with the whole COVID cult. I called it a COVID cult from the summer of 2020. I never thought it would become quite what it did and still remains to be. I'm still watching people worship this thing. It's unbelievable how far we went. Okay, enough about that. All right, let's go to Hilda, if I'm saying that right. Hilda in Louisiana. Hilda, thanks for calling in. What's your comment or question?
Yes, thank you. I have some good news for you.
Oh, good.
You were talking about we may have missed not starting the Bible, reading the Bible in the 1st of January.
Yes.
Well, God's holy days and the first day of the sacred year, I guess you would call that the Jewish calendar, starts this March 23rd.
Oh, perfect.
And the Jewish people keep sunset to sunset, so it starts sunset Wednesday the 22nd, and then to sunset Thursday the 23rd. And
all right.
I, for one, hope to start the Bible on that day.
Well, I love it. I love it. That's fantastic, Hilda. And that that's my birthday, too. So March 23rd.
Really?
Hey, everybody out there listening, you don't have to send in birthday presents, but I do like chocolate. Let's just put it that way. I'm just kidding. All right.
How old are you?
I'm going to be 52.
Oh, a baby.
a baby. Yeah,
thank
my
you.
Producer just whispered in my ear and said, young buck. Well, hey, listen, right. Hilda, God bless you. I love your call. Thank you for calling in. Here's the great thing, folks. There's no day that's a bad day to start reading God's word. There's just not. I mean, you can start at any time. And I've got this guideline. I don't even know the right way to describe it. I guess, what do we call it? Daily reading plan there on the website. And it lists every day. And for instance, today is, let's see. So today's what? The 21st. Is today the 21st? Yeah, 21st. And so we're in 2 Samuel. We're reading 2 Samuel 6 through 11. And then we're reading an article about Jonathan Mayhew. And so it's basically roughly six pages a day is what I have everybody read in the Founders Bible. And that way you get through the whole Bible and you get through all these amazing articles. When I say amazing articles, I mean they're on heroes from the Revolution, like Peter Francisco, mighty man of the Revolution, somebody may or may not have ever heard of. Frederick Augustus Muhlenberg, the guy, first Speaker of the House, who was a pastor. His brother, John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, another pastor with a great story. His statue's in the Capitol. It's a really cool statue where he's like, he's standing there in his military uniform, but his clerical robes are draped over his arm because it's from that famous sermon where he preached out of Ecclesiastes and called his men to arms, says it's no longer a time of peace, it's a time of war. Oh man, we could go on and on and on. Anyway, never too late to start. Any day is a good day to start reading. And if you don't want to do a Bible plan, if you don't want to do a one-year plan, then just start reading. Just find a place to start reading. Saturate your mind in God's word. If more and more of us will do that, we will find the answers to all of the problems in our culture and be able to solve them with God's truth. Okay, we got a break coming up, but let's try to get one more call in. Randy's also calling from Louisiana, so we'll stay in Cajun country for one more call. Randy, go ahead.
Hey, yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
This guy trying to indict Trump for whatever charges. If they do that to him, they need to go after probably about 90% of Congress because of that slush fund that they found years ago. And I'm sure that's paid by the taxpayer. If they do that, then they need to go after Congress too and just see what happens. Because I'm sure these people got so many skeletons in their closet, it's unreal. You know, and it's a shame putting Trump's family through this over just politics and everything.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. And on the COVID thing, Wuhan Fauci needs to be indicted.
Amen.
And Biden, too, for murder. I mean, I had two friends die of blood clots after taking the vaccine, and they were ate up with blood clots.
Well, brother, I'll tell you, Randy, I've said it a million times, but I believe that Anthony Fauci did more damage to America than any other single individual in the history of our nation, and it's all of the things that he did with preventing people from being able to get the treatments that were available, to the ridiculous mandates that were pushed and all of the things that he did over the last 3 years. It's a crime against humanity, and that's why we need those Nuremberg trials. I couldn't agree more. He deserves to be in prison without a doubt, and possibly based on all of the damage that he did, you may be right. Treason against the country or something that deserves the death penalty. Who knows how far that might go? But I also agree with your comment about, you got to fight fire with fire. And we're at a point where, people think being nice is the right way to go. It's not. The left has been in the trenches, scratching and clawing for decades, and we've sat on the sidelines and let them gain way too much ground. And it's time to push back, and it's time to do the right thing and get government back in its proper box. But we've got to learn how to fight with the weapons that we've been given. And that means engaging in the culture. It means making sure that we're showing up at these meetings. We're taking over school boards. We're doing all those things. It's happening on little levels around the country, but it's got to increase. We've got to be force multipliers. And that means you and I have to be engaged as well. But it starts with God's word. Being saturated in God's word, then we'll know how to act. In fact, when you read Nehemiah, man, you really learn a lot about how to deal with a lot of the things we're dealing with right now in our country. We've got to take another break. Cassie, you'll be up next from Texas, next caller when we come back from the break. Stay with us, folks. You're listening to At the Core. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach.
What does the American Family Association stand for? We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia, and I'm a faithful listener.
Wherever you are, however you listen, we'd love to hear your AFR story.
I now believe, I actually do believe in Christ, and I'm just so grateful.
Call 877-876-8893 and give us a minute or two about AFR in your life. Have we encouraged your faith? Have we taught you something? Call today so we can do the same for others. That's 877-876-8893. 8893.
Let's be real. Retirement is expensive, and inflation is making it even harder with the cost of everything going up from pet food to a dozen eggs. Wouldn't it be great if the cost of your health care could go down? Well, MediShare 65 Plus is $99 a month for ages 65 to 74. And for many with Medicare Parts A and B, looking at other options, that's 50% or more saved per month. No gimmicks. It's $99 a month, and you can use any Medicare-approved doctor or facility, and you get 24/7 access to telehealth from the convenience of your home. Better yet, MediShare is a Christian nonprofit organization. It's a community that'll pray for you and encourage you. And since we've cut out the middleman, you get to keep the savings. Call now. You can learn more about MediShare 65 Plus. Here's the number, 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
Even though Karl Marx, the father of modern communism, was an atheist, he certainly understood the meaning of words. He wrote, "Either God is sovereign or man is sovereign. One of the two must be untrue." He reminds us that when we use words like Lord and sovereign, we should live as if we understand them. Jesus asked a crowd one day, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Calling someone Lord is the same as calling him sovereign. And if Jesus is sovereign Lord, it means we are not. Therefore, our role is to live submissively to him. And this is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's sovereignty on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thrilled to be with you this afternoon. And I'll be with you again tomorrow. Normally, Walker with you on Wednesdays, but I'm going to be filling in tomorrow, so be sure and tune in. And we'll see what else we can cover in the headlines of the day. But let's go to Cassie in Texas. She's next up. Thanks for calling in, Cassie. What part of Texas are you calling from?
Argyle.
Argyle. Man, I went to a student function there back in high school many, many, many years ago. I've already revealed my age, so you can do the math. But anyway, Cassie, go ahead. What's your comment or question?
Well, first, Rick, I just wanted to tell you I love your love for the Lord, and I love your upbeat enthusiasm. So needed right now. Amen. But I really wanted to just make two quick points, things that I think about all the time. The first one, I'm just wondering, and it's seeming more and more, that all of this that is happening in our world right now is possibly God judging America. Just because of how we've turned our back on him in so many things, abortion and being the whole gay thing and promoting it, not just kind of turning your head when you see something, but actually being told we need to accept it and love it. God calls it sin. It's sin. And the other thing, so just the fact that he may be judging America, and it really doesn't matter what we do. Now, I'm not saying stop doing. We should be using our voices, taking action wherever we can. But it's, I wouldn't doubt it one bit if he's not judging America. And the other thing was, I'm just wondering that vaccine, is it possible that there's more than one and we're not told? Because it's so mind-boggling that some people just drop dead. Other people get very, very sick and they just don't seem to recover. There's some people that it doesn't seem to faze one bit. They don't have one single complaint. So that may be the vaccine where there's nothing really in it. And yet all these different levels.
Yeah, I think it could be. Let me take that last one and first, and then I'll go back to the judgment question. But you know, I think it's like with a lot of vaccines where it just depends on the genetic disposition of the person. There's a different reaction, and so there's a lot of things at play. And so anybody that has even like an autoimmune issue in their family, in their gene pool, and they see it in other members of the family, but it hasn't yet come out in their physiology. A lot of times a vaccine will trigger that because of whatever that reaction is. And that's not even necessarily this vaccine, even though it is being seen to do things like that. But even a lot of the other childhood vaccines trigger things like that. So knowing that stuff is really important for parents to do the homework on you know, their family history, medical history, know which vaccines, you know, in our family, we would pick and choose. Like, we did the homework on them. Tetanus was one that we wanted our kids to have because we live out on the ranch, a lot of rusty stuff, all that good stuff. But we were very, very selective, and we did a ton of homework on each and every one of these things. And I think even in this case, that's part of the problem with the whole COVID vaccine issue, is that there wasn't that kind of research. So a parent could not do the research and because there hadn't been testing. When we make the general public the test, which is what they now say, they literally claim, they're like, oh no, it's been tested now because of all the, you know, millions of people that have gotten it. Well, that's not the way you're supposed to test these things. So anyway, really, really bad way to go about this, but very good point. I'm going to say this on the judgment thing. I honestly struggle with this, Cassie. You're bringing up something that not that I go back and forth, but I guess I do. I mean, I struggle with this because I know we deserve judgment. There's no question America deserves judgment based on everything that you just said, the things that we've embraced. Romans 1 talks about the fact they not only do them, but approve of those who practice them. So it's the celebration of the deviancy that has happened in our culture. The fact that we now have elected public servants, leaders of the nation, that are celebrating the distortion of male and female and celebrating the carving up of children, the things that are being done, the evil that is being done and being celebrated by those in authority, absolutely is asking for the judgment of God. Whether or not we're receiving that, I don't know. I don't know. I constantly go back to even at Sodom and Gomorrah, where Abraham argues with God and begs and get, you know, goes from what was it, 50 to 45 to 40, you know, gets down to whatever it was, 5 or 10. If you could just find 5 righteous, and I think about that God will stay His hand for a remnant. And you think about America, we have more than a remnant. We have millions of Americans that have not bowed their knee to Baal, or that have repented, that have done what we, you know, always quote in Second Chronicles. I mean, we humbled themselves and prayed and seek His face and turned from their wicked ways. So there are millions of Americans that are doing that and that have done that. And therefore, is God having mercy on us, actually, instead of judgment, not yet destroying us, but yet the laws of nature and nature's God don't change, which means what I'm trying to get to here is that you can still get the negative consequences of bad inputs without God's intervening with judgment. It's just the system that He put in place. He designed us and designed nature so that if you do garbage in, you get garbage out. If you do things in your society that are harmful and that are poisonous, you're going to have a negative result. So I could argue absolutely that God's intervening judgment has not happened, but yet His natural judgment for how He set up mankind to work. And you just read through Deuteronomy and you can see the formula. It's very clear. You do these things that honor God. You do these things that follow His law. You get all these blessings and your culture thrives. You do these things that dishonor God. You do these things that reject God's laws, that reject his principles. You get all kinds of, you know, the opposite of blessings. You get the curses. You get the negatives. So that is I gave you a politician's answer because I said on one hand this and on the other. That is my way of saying I think we are experiencing God's judgment, but I think it's his judgment in the way that he set up the laws of nature and nature's God. I don't know yet if we're getting a more of an intervening judgment like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah and with the children of Israel multiple times in the Old Testament, where he just got fed up, where the stench was just so bad, he finally said, I'm done with you. I don't think we're there, honestly. I don't think that one has happened yet. I see too many bright lights. I see too many examples of little pockets of revival around the country. Too many signs that the culture has a chance of turning. Too many signs that people are waking up. Now, I'm not being Pollyanna, as I said earlier. I'm not suggesting that it's easy. I'm not suggesting that we're there. I'm one of these people that says, I don't know if we're going to save the country. I don't know if God's going to stay his hand. I don't know where this is all going to go. I just know that we're supposed to do our duty and leave the results up to God, that we're supposed to do everything within our power, everything at our fingertips, to do everything we can to save the country and then leave the results to God. Cassie, your question is fantastic. I'm not kidding you. It's a subject that I think a lot about. It's a subject that our family sits around the campfire and talks about a lot. And with others as well, and it's something that I think we should be discussing. And I encourage everybody out there, you know, in addition to asking you to be in God's Word and saturate yourself in God's Word and every day and read through the Bible this year, in addition to that, spend time asking God for mercy, not judgment. Spend time specifically begging God to stay his hand and give us a chance to turn this thing around, to come back to the good stuff in instead of the garbage in, to once again get the good stuff out instead of the garbage out. And if he gives us time, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Now, at that point, it puts the monkey on our back, right? Now, if he does stay his hand, if he does give us that chance, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to be the wicked and slothful servant that doesn't participate, that doesn't use the freedom that we've been given to participate in this thing? I hope not. I hope enough people are waking up that we can be like the other two servants that worked it, man. They multiplied it. They put in the elbow grease. They did the things that it takes. And I think there's a lot of people doing that in our country. Okay, let's go back to the phones. I'm not sure who was going to be next, so I'm going to go to Richard in North Carolina. Richard in North Carolina. Hey, man, thanks for calling in from North Carolina. What's your comment or question today?
Oh, I've got so many, and we don't have time for them all. But so good to hear your voice and to hear your program, Rick.
Thank you, sir.
And FYI, I got about 25 years on you.
I've seen
a lot.
Well, you're not done yet. I always tell everybody, you're in the fight till you're six feet under. That's right.
No, sir. I got a long way to go. Anyhow, I got several comments. One,
sure,
regarding what was brought up recently about COVID and the hospitals and all that. I've noticed where I am here in the western North Carolina foothills, for some reason, ever since COVID, all the medical facilities, hospitals, doctor's offices, clinics, et cetera, are growing dramatically. They're all expanding their buildings considerably. There's a ton of money being spent suddenly by all these medical facilities. That's just an observation I've made. I'm not a sleuth. I don't have time for it, but it's an observation I think that I've not heard anybody discuss inquiring about.
No, that's a good point, Richard, and I know you have another point, so stay with me and I'll let you make it. But I do think all the money that we threw at these hospitals and the medical industrial complex is at the root of what you're talking about. I mean, we showered these people with not billions, trillions of dollars. And we rewarded them for bad decisions. So they got extra money for putting people on ventilators and killing them. They got extra money if somebody tested positive for COVID, even if they were in the hospital for something totally different. They got extra money if they declared a death as COVID, even if they died from a gunshot wound or car accident. It was the height of lunacy. It was totally ridiculous. And all this expansion in these buildings that you're seeing, you bet they're, I mean, I'm just guessing, but you bet they're going to grow and expand. And they were showered with money. They came out looking pretty on the other side of this thing. I know everybody said, oh, the doctors and nurses are the heroes. And we had all these dancing, you know, people in their scrubs. They had time to go dance on TikTok and everything else. And, you know, listen, I have friends that were, you know, traveling nurses like the one that called earlier that went into the heat of the battle and in some of the worst places and then were treated horribly because they didn't follow the narrative and all of those things. So I think the medical industry failed us miserably. Doctors and nurses that did not stand up and say no to this crazy stuff failed us and went lockstep with the narrative, and not having that civil discourse and that freedom of speech and the ability for them to speak against a lot of what was going on allowed us to stay mired in that thing for 2 years and more lives to be lost. So that's my thoughts on the medical industrial complex. Go ahead, Richard. What was your other thing you wanted to comment on?
Well, two other items. But the next one was regarding what's happening here. The previous person that was talking about whether God is judging us right now.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, brought up about churches need to be doing this and that. Well, that is part of the problem. From my personal involvement, having been involved in large major denominations, which I left two decades ago, what's happening with the churches, there are so many are apostates. They're false teachers and false leaders, and they've got false churches. The people who are sitting in the pews don't have a clue because their leaders are doing this, what I call the sin of omission.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're not telling the people in the pews the truth of what's going on. It's the financial. The people in the pews are being taught to be happy with the music or the pastors or superfluous things.
Well, and Richard, a lot of that is just like we were talking about, it's our duty to read through the Bible every year. I think it's the duty of those pastors to preach through the entire Bible and not leave things off the table. Like you're saying, that sin of omission, they avoid these tough topics, these hot topics in the culture because they're so afraid of offending, when in fact the gospel is supposed to offend, right? It's supposed to convict. And so no doubt about it, and the seminaries are a big part of the problem. They're teaching, frankly, anti-biblical philosophy with regard to separation of church and state and all kinds of compartmentalization of the gospel, and they're training the pastors of the next generation to buy into this stuff. And unfortunately, they trained most of this current generation of pastors in these wimpy, you know, it's all about being nice, and the definition of love has changed. Now love means that I'm nice to you and I treat you with kid gloves no matter what you do, and I don't speak truth to you. I don't give you conviction for doing wrong. I just embrace you no matter what you do. That's their definition of love, which is of course dangerous and unhealthy and leads to more sin and leads to more destruction. But we've allowed that to happen, and it's going to have to be rooted out, and it's going to require us to stand up and say no to that nonsense. Richard, I'm down to 60 seconds. You think you can make your third one in about 10 seconds?
Oh, real quick. I've got a 13-year-old grandson, and I'm trying to prime him for coming to your
school. Oh, I love it. Send him on. Send him on, Richard. Thank you so much. Thank you for your call, too, and tell him to get ready, and we'll be ready for him. We love having young people that are hungry for truth. And so if anybody else out there wants to send a kid or a grandkid to one of our youth leadership programs, check out PatriotAcademy.com today. A great partnership with American Family Association and just a whole generation that we're training out there. And we'd love for you to be a part of that. Really appreciate you listening today, folks. Looking forward to being with you again tomorrow. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You've been listening to At the Core.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
The God who speaks explores the evidence of the Bible's inspiration and authority through some